Yes, let's go for a ride on a Tuesday morning with the car guru, because he's already been for a ride on his bicycle this morning.
Yeah, I got taken for a ride yesterday, and this morning I got up and went on a bike ride. Tara and I are trying to, well, I say trying, that doesn't sound too committed, does it? I mean, you got to be committed, so you do more than try. But we are riding every Tuesday, every Thursday, and every Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And we're starting off 10 miles, and we're going to try to get up to 60 miles a week when it's all said and done. So, you know, until the weather turns bad, then we have to figure out what we're going to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, we ride these bikes. They have all kinds of gears. I've got a beautiful short ride to go on. It takes us down by behind Tuscum College and down along the river and around a really nice subdivision. And we just ride. I mean, just whenever you're riding a bike, you just notice more, you know, about what's outside whenever you're going slow like that. I've also noticed that riding around in a convertible car, you just see things that you don't see with a top on the car. One of the things I saw on Saturday, we were riding along this little, almost a single lane road. It's barely paved. That runs along the river. I think it's called Browns Bridge Road. And I saw this little building. It looked like it was maybe a 12 by 8 building, perched up on piers right beside a creek. And you could see underneath the building is a wheel, like a water wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at that thing, and I said, what in the heck is that for? Well, yesterday afternoon, I go to my old barber down there in downtown Tusculum, and Kenneth, I think, is 86 years old. You know, he's got to be a pretty good barber to still be cutting hair at 86,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I need to be a pretty brave customer to let him. I don't know. But I said, hey, Kenneth, you know that Browns Bridge Road or whatever the name of the road is, I can't remember, that little building. Oh, yeah, I know that little building. He says, that is a powerhouse. I said, a powerhouse? Of course, it's not operational now.
Mm-hmm.
He said, yes, that is and he knew the guy's name, generated his own power. He's got a DC motor and generated power for his house. And I said, well, how long ago was that in operation? He said, probably 70, 80 years ago. But I'm going to send you pictures of it, Tim. I think you'll get a kick out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped on my bicycle this morning and took some pictures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just kind of one of the things that I do. And I've got 40,000 pictures on my iPhone. And, you know, so you can obviously tell that I like it. I'm in the middle of texting this to you. Normally people don't text and do radio shows at the same time.
Well, it's a little safer, though. It's a little safer than driving and texting.
Yeah, but you can text. Okay, so I sent that to you just now.
Okay.
Yesterday was a good day for selling vintage cars. I sold the 93 Dodge Venom Viper that belonged to a friend of mine. It sold on Bring a Trailer auction. And then after that, I met a gentleman. I told you about that 64 Mustang that I found. And ended up, the whole underside of that car is really unsafe. It's rusted out and is going to have to be replaced. And I had sold it, technically sold it to this gentleman just on Facebook. And he and his wife came in, looked at it, and I said, well, good news and bad news. Everything is pretty much the way I described it, except, and if you guys want out of the deal, I'm fine with that. But it has the whole underside, the structure of this vehicle, it has a lot of rust. And it has some rust in some very bad places, which could really affect the structural integrity of this thing, especially because it's a convertible. You know, when you cut the top out of a car, you're taking a lot of support. And so you've got to have this additional support underneath the vehicle, and that it has rust holes in it. So I told him what that was going to cost. You know, there's this company that makes a complete floor pan for this thing, which includes the frame horns and everything to support the engine. And it's just a really cool package. It's about $2,500. The labor is another $3,000 or $4,000. you know, to do all the welding and stuff. So I told him about that. I told him what the engine options were, some of the things I thought about. He said, well, he said, we still want it. So, you know, that's good. You know, sometimes, you know, you buy a used car or something and you just don't get the whole story. A lot of folks go to Carfax to try to pull history, and I recommend that. I mean, I recommend that you do as much research on a used car as possible. You know, Tim, if you were looking at a used car on a local lot and you pulled a history report, and let's say it was 4 or 5 years old, and you saw that it spent a lot of time in New York, would that concern you?
Yes, it would, because of the colder weather up there and the snow and everything else.
Yeah. I mean, I have seen brand new cars that are, you know, relatively new cars that are not supposed to rust because of all this stuff that they do to them in the factory, you know, for rust prevention. But they will still rust out. You know, always check the vehicle history. And then, you know, if you're buying from an individual, a lot of people think that they're safer buying from an individual. I personally think you're a lot safer buying from an established dealer, because the established dealer has, they're liable financially to make sure that you know, you're getting what you think you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fraud is a pretty big deal. And if you sell a car to somebody and it's not as it was represented, then you know, dealers can get in trouble. Just watch out for the paperwork that you sign when you buy a car. There's two things. One is as is with all its faults. You know, if you buy a car with a warranty, that's one thing. But what does the warranty cover and what does it not cover? And then, you know, you just have to make sure that, like I say, that the history is good, and then that you don't sign anything that waives your rights. There are some unscrupulous dealers, and, you know, there aren't a bunch of them, but they're out there, that will basically have you sign something that forces you into arbitration if you are not happy, you know, with something. And if you can't sue them, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those things have been overturned, but that's just, to me, that's just a dishonest dealer trying to avoid, you know, being held accountable. So just a few things to watch out for. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we're talking about women and the car business. I got to be careful here, so I will be. I promise.
All right. We'll be right back. All right. There's a woman in the car business, Abby, and you're going to delve a little bit more into women here.
Well, yeah, women and the car business in this particular case. Before I get into that, I do want to mention that Ford is saying that the new model for car dealers is going to be primarily basically built to order cars. I think in the future you're going to see fewer cars on lots, much to the chagrin of Steve Grindstaff, I'm sure. He's got the biggest lot I've ever seen up there in Grindstaff, Kia,
mm-hmm.
and he never has a lot of cars on it. I think he had grand aspirations, you know, as far as that lot is concerned and how many cars he would be stocking. But that's not the model of the future, and the pandemic has really, really affected that. And just for an example, I've got two new sites basically for ordering the new Maverick and ordering the new Bronco. You can go to gatewayfordmaverick.com and reserve a Maverick, and it's the best way to do it if you want to get one. You want one of those new small trucks, then that's going to be the way you get it. Also, for the Ford Bronco, you can go to gatewayfordbronco.com. And so this is, Tim, this is the new model, you know, it's very consumer-friendly. People like to be able to shop and build things online and then submit an inquiry. And this goes straight to Katie at my dealership, and Katie processes all of the online requests, and then one of my managers will get involved and finalize the deal. So it's a really clean and comfortable process. You know, it's something that women and men alike are tending to favor, at least in the early stages of the process. But let's talk about women just minute. You want two?
Yeah, let's talk about women? Let's do it.
You know, in my estimation, many women are underestimated in terms of their importance in the car buying and servicing decision. Now, typically, the man in the house, if there is a man in the house, or one person will be more dominant in terms of the auto repair issues. Would you agree with that, Tim?
Oh, yeah. Usually are.
Yeah. And then, but when it comes to car buying, it may seem that way, but over 75% of women or car purchasers are influenced by women. And so, you know, a lot of the cars that are being bought and sold are done so. Maybe the woman doesn't say that much during a sale transaction, but that deal doesn't happen if it's not for her. And salespeople tend to, especially males, tend to ignore the women. And if there's a man and a woman, they tend to provide more eye contact to the man.
Mm-hmm.
More of the conversation is directed to the man. And this is a fatal mistake. And I learned about this, just another example of it yesterday. I was talking to a friend of mine, and she was talking about how she was underestimated by a salesperson, ended up costing them the sale. And so, again, don't underestimate them. Don't undervalue them when it comes to the decision-making process, because it's offensive. You know, people, they will walk off. I mean, I don't like to be ignored either.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not men or women, you know, don't like to be ignored. Now, it's true that a lot of women don't know that much about cars, but they don't want to be treated like they're not intelligent. You understand? Many feel, and I've seen this in my service department over the years, my experience is that they feel like they're being talked down to or they're not being fully informed. You know, this is another fatal mistake that you can make by, you know, just not keeping them informed and also explaining things. You know, shops are busy places. There's no doubt about that. Many men, male service advisors, don't really want to take the time for a tutorial. But it's very valuable to not only teach your customer something about the transaction so that you don't have an issue when they go to pay for it, but it also builds customer loyalty, don't you think, Tim?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just feel like the more time that you spend explaining stuff, the better off you are. And sometimes there's a translation problem between the husband and basically if a woman comes in and she is handling the service transaction and then she is communicating with her husband by phone or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and the terminology, you know, just gets confused, and that's understandable. And then you have the man calling in saying, what are you trying to do to my wife? You know, what are you trying to sell us? We don't need that.
Yeah.
And then they explain it. And so, you know, some of those situations can be resolved just by a text or an email. They can be, you know, get a three-way conversation on the phone. You know, we just have to make sure that all the parties involved understand what's going on. Now, there's some women that I just, you know, I don't want to know. I don't care. They just want it fixed, right? They just want to get back on the road,
mm-hmm.
and not have to worry about this anymore. So service advisors out there that take the time to explain things. That's one of the reasons we have some good visual displays in the, you know, around the service advisors that we can explain stuff and show. It's just like demonstration pieces that you can show folks what's going on with their brakes or, you know, with their engine or something like that. And that does make a difference. Again, another mistake that salespeople often make is just not addressing the woman when they're selling a car. Just ignoring her. And like I say, the eye contact is important. So, you know, if you are struggling with a repair problem and you don't really understand what's going on, you know, sometimes just going to a YouTube video and watching an explanation about how something works. I watched one this morning about regenerative braking. I didn't really understand all the ins and outs of how that works and how, you know, with an electric vehicle or a hybrid vehicle, when you are decelerating, the battery is recharging. And it's basically puts the engine or the electric motor into reverse mode, which charge sends the current back into the battery and recharges the battery. So, you know, this is what I do when I don't understand something, as I go to YouTube and watch a video, or I'll just go to this one of my favorite websites is called How Stuff Works. Have you ever used that, Tim?
I've seen, yeah. In fact, we've talked about that on the show some in the morning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's a good place to go if you want to understand something that's going on with your house or you know, something in technology in general. You know, these are all useful tools that if you don't have a smartphone or access to a computer, you don't have access to that information. So, you know, the bottom line is if you have a situation with a car, you've got a resource in me to be able to help you with it. Now, I don't get flooded with phone calls. You would think that I would, but I do get occasional calls. I think a lot of people say, well, I just don't want to bother him. But just go ahead and bother me. I mean, I enjoy helping people. I don't need to get anything out of it. If you are dealing with, you know, maybe friendship in Bristol or you know, a dealership in Kingsport or something, and you just want to go in to a situation with a little bit more confidence, a little bit more understanding, don't hesitate to send me a text message or something like that. You can call me. If I don't answer the phone, leave a voicemail message, and I will get back with you. My cell phone is 552-2020. That's 423-552-2020, and I'll be glad to help you out with these issues. And then, you know, when you go into the service department or whatever, you're going to go in with a little bit more confidence. All right?
Sounds good.
Right. We'll take our last break and be back here in just a minute.
All right. All right, back here on this edition of My Car Guru for the final few minutes here with Lenny Lawson.
You know, we had a slogan one time that Gateway was basically a gateway to a better car life. Mm-hmm. And this was a mission statement, more or less. You know, I think people have – you remember seeing those stickers on the back of cars that say, like, salt life?
Yes.
And lake life and
yes.
Camping
mm-hmm.
life. And you still see them occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it made me think about what we do and that everybody has a car life. They spend a significant amount of their time in their car. Their car is very important to their lifestyle. You know, in terms of the ability to go where they want to go and, you know, be free to do things that they want to do. When that life gets interrupted, you know, either by a car accident, you know, with where you have to get it repaired, or car trouble, you know, it creates a disruption in your life. And people just, you know, they don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like when things don't go as planned. And so, you know, you need to have a resource, you know, to be able to deal with that. I've always, you know, I've got a lawyer and I've got a plumber and I've got an electrician and I've got somebody that I can call on to mow my hay. And, you know, it's just I've got these relationships of people that when I need them, you know, they're there. And I think everybody needs, especially as important as your car life is to you, you need somebody that you can count on. And I hear it all the time. I mean, I was looking on Facebook the other day. Somebody was on My Greenville, which is just a page that people go to ask questions and get directions and get help and find, you know, good people who to work on different things. And this lady says, where do you take your car to get repaired? And so I saw this one business, it's a, you know, it's an independent business. It's not like a car dealership, but an independent auto repair shop. And people were saying just a lot of really, really good things about that place. And they were talking about the owner of the place. And they were using his name. And, you know, that's a pretty good testament to to a business. When somebody asks a simple question like that, and you get about 90-plus responses that this is the place to go, mm-hmm. and they use the owner's name, you know, to describe, you know, the place and why they like it. And so that kind of a reputation is earned. It's not something that advertising can do. And my recommendation is that, you know, if you own a car, or most people own more than one, that you've got somebody like that, an independent shop or a car dealership or whatever, and that you can call on, you know, to either ask questions or to have your car taken care of. You know, I put my cell phone out here for everybody to use. Not a lot of business owners do that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that has been as much of a blessing to me as it has been to some of my customers. Mm-hmm. Because I have met, Tim, some of the most phenomenal people but through their automobiles. And every day, you know, I'm thankful for one thing primarily, and that's the relationships that I have developed over the years that really helped me cope, you know, with life in general and loss and you name it. Some of the people that I've met that I would have never run into if it hadn't been for this radio show or it hadn't been for the car business itself. And so, you know, anytime, again, that you need assistance, if you don't have somebody, I can probably introduce you to somebody in your town. If you are new to this area and you don't know where to go as far as getting your car serviced or buying a new car or whatever, you know, if you don't want my brand, I get it. That's fine. But I can tell you who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. And I just can't do it on the air, Tim.
Yeah, but you're right about the, you know, once a business is identified by the person's name that owns it or whatever, because I'm sure there's people all around the area, and especially in Greene County, that have said Lenny's Dealership instead of Gateway. I've used that before myself with Christina. I say, you know, we're going to run by Lenny's for a minute or whatever instead of saying Gateway.
That's right, and that's who we are. You know, my business that used to be titled by our last name, Lawson. Mm-hmm. You know, we had Lawson Chevrolet, Lawson Mountain Mazda, Lawson Mitsubishi, Oldsmobile, you know, all of that. And we kind of got away from that when we developed Gateway because I had partners at that time. I don't now. Mm-hmm. And but, you know, my business is a reflection of me. And, you know, if we do things right and everybody enjoys it, then it's a good reflection on me. If we screw up in some way and, you know, fail somebody for either in a sale situation or a service situation, then it reflects badly on me. And, you know, people say that Lenny Lawson ain't worth crap, you know, or something like that. And I've never met him, you know, and I didn't do the work. But ultimately, I get held accountable. You know, people know that I own the business, and I want people to know that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've never been afraid of being accountable. I mean, that is something my parents taught me, and I am 100% that way for anything that I do or anything that my people do. But I just wanted to pass that on and wish everybody a happy day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
All right, 552-2020, that's the number to get a hold of Lenny Lawson, the Car Guru. Lenny, we will talk to you tomorrow.